Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, Group Director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for our webinar today, Web to Finish, From Customer to Completion. And I'm going to be joined today by two individuals. The first is Brian Yeager. He's a senior consultant at InfoTrends. And the second is John DeVille, and he's the manager of the data management group at Case Smith. And what we're going to be doing is giving you a couple of different perspectives. The first is really Brian's point of view on the overall role of automation in a web-enabled environment. And then John's going to share with you the practical implementation and what they've done at Case Smith. Before we get started, though, what I do want to do is give you some tips to make sure that you effectively enjoy our webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Ask a Question box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the Help button below. Please make sure that you disable pop-up blockers. You can get a PDF version of this presentation by clicking on the Download Slides button. If you like what you're seeing and hearing today, you can tell your peers by using the Invite a Colleague button, or you can let us know by clicking the Survey button and sending your feedback. You can submit questions for today's speakers using the Ask a Question box, and we'll be monitoring that Q&A box throughout the course of the webinar. So please, you know, submit questions during the webinar, and we'll ask them right while the presenter is presenting. And you can view this event on demand for the next 90 days. Now, what I'm going to do, first of all, is spend just a couple of minutes giving you a market overview of the concepts surrounding Web to Finish. Brian's going to share with you automation fundamentals, and then, as I indicated, John will talk to you about how they've made it work at Case Smith, and we'll wrap up with a couple of recommendations and conclusions. When I talk about automation, I think Aristotle summed it up best when he said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." And I think that's the focus when service providers look at automating their businesses. And so when you think about why automation and why now, there's a set of benefits that cascade every industry, regardless of the actual business you're in. First of all, as I automate, I become more efficient. It gives me the opportunity to become more innovative, to produce new products cost-effectively in very short runs. It makes me much more competitive. By the way, I can reduce my overall costs, and it's not just the cost of labor, but I deal with things like inventory, training, quality control, and if I automate everything from start, which is order entry, all the way to the end finishing process, I can take a lot of cost out of the overall equation. One of my clients once said, every time someone touches something, money is lost. The next piece is it gives you a lot of control. I get to understand what's coming into the facility and manage and monitor the workflow. Quality goes up, and then overall viability is strengthened through automation because I become not just the most cost-effective but the most efficient supplier in the industry. Now, I like to give a couple of examples, and one of my favorites, and I think is probably the poster child for automation, is Vistaprint. I tell people, think about Vistaprint. They were founded in 1995. This past third quarter, where they announced earnings in April of 2011, through their quarter ended March 31st, their revenues were $203.7 million. It was a 23% increase over the same quarter a year ago. And, oh, by the way, with their streamlined and automated manufacturing facilities, their gross margin in the third quarter was 65.3%. And what they've done is they've automated everything from that consumer that enters the order all the way through to lights out production so that they minimize the number of human touches. When you take a look at Vistaprint and the benefits of automation, they process 71,000 orders per day. Vistaprint uses as little as 60 seconds of production labor per order versus an hour or more for traditional printers. A standard Vistaprint printing sheet can hold 143 business cards, 42 postcards, 21 oversized postcards, and all of that is streamlined and automated with imposition algorithms to in essence, monitor and streamline the entire finishing operation. And so what we're seeing are a number of trends that are driving automated web to finish. When I talk about it, I think there are five real essential trends. First of all, the runs are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. The graphic here depicts what the average run lengths are in terms of declines in overall run lengths. What you're seeing is increases in those that are below 500. You're seeing demands by your customer base for faster turnaround. You're seeing e-enablement and web order entry that says I have to automate the order entry through to finishing, as well as invoice processing. You're seeing customized communications take those run lengths all the way down to one. You're seeing increased job complexity. And so all of those factors are truly driving the need for automating everything from order entry through to finished product. Now, with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Brian Yeager. And Brian's going to share with you what I categorize as automation fundamentals. Brian, take it away.
Great. Thanks a lot, Barb. So, again, today what I'm going to be talking about is workflow automation and how it really ties in with a web-enabled environment, a web-enabled solution that that people are offering today. So what we really see today out in the market is what we would characterize as islands of automation within workflow. We see bits and pieces of the workflow that are connected. Parts of job creation and submission are connected with each other. Parts of pre-production, production, and post-production, they may have their own sets of automation, but they're not all integrated together. This means that efficiencies are limited, and while you can while this may work for a small number of big jobs that plants are producing, as Barb mentioned, run lengths are decreasing. And as you go to a larger number of smaller jobs, especially through web to print, the need to move those jobs through the workflow is paramount. And so through some of the studies that InfoTrends has done, specifically trying to understand where all the costs are associated with business communications and print production, over half of the costs we find are associated with the upfront workflow, things like creative, editorial, project management, warehousing and archiving, obsolescence of inventory and things like that. And so there's really a lot of opportunity out there to be able to automate the workflow process of bringing jobs in and getting them out the door. Now, when we talk about web enablement, what we really see is that, and this is this slide is in the context of the United States, we see that overall print shipments over the next 5 years, they're relatively flat. They're going to maybe a slight increase of 1%. But looking at that and some of the forecasting that we've done, we see that web-enabled shipments are going to grow by a compound annual growth rate of 20% over the next 5 years. So there's a lot of opportunity out there. More print is going to be web-enabled. And because it's going to be web-enabled, it means that service providers really need to automate and optimize their workflow to be able to handle those type of jobs.
Brian, we have a quick question for you relative to web enablement. When you look at the implementation of web enablement, are the majority of print service providers using a lot of the cloud-based tools, or in fact are they implementing servers and the technology at their facilities?
I'd say it depends on the type of service provider they are, where they're at in the process of actually offering web-enabled solutions. I'd say that especially for people that are just getting into web enablement, we see a lot of people doing a subscription-based software as a service type of solution, or even a managed service, where they're able to for a very low cost of entry, be able to get something started up on the web and get jobs being submitted through the web very easily, as opposed to making that upfront investment in server infrastructure and things like that, and then bringing that on site as they need it and things like that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Brian.
Sure. Let me move my slide forward here. What we really see when and this is a study we did in 2008, and we believe that this has actually improved over time, is that we find that people, service providers, are really finding some cost savings through web enablement. We see that the average percentage of cost savings, even a few years ago, was around 14.4%. We've seen some numbers that have been greater than that. And so there's a real benefit to web enabling your print production stuff.
Brian, quick question on this. When you say the mean cost savings, what are the major contributors to that cost savings?
Sure. So, there's a number of different factors. A lot of it has to do with being able to provide a self-service type of mechanism for your customers so that, you know, when you're dealing with customers, you're not always having to interface with a person to be able to order something. You can go on a website. You can pick and choose what you want. You can have it fulfilled, sent to you directly within a few days. That leaves people in customer service to deal with, you know, really high-value types of jobs and applications that are going through. I'd say that's one of the big important factors of implementing something like this, and also the ability to more easily automate that entire production process on the back end.
Great. Thanks, Brent.
Sure. So, you know, to be able to find some of these cost savings and to be able to, you know, improve efficiency, what we really find from some of the recent surveys that we've done is that to improve workflow efficiency, printers are upgrading their existing software tools and they're purchasing new software tools to be able to really integrate all these islands of automation together. And that's really the goal. That's the desired end state. It's end-to-end integration and automation. Being able to concentrate on your operational effectiveness, be able to create super efficient workflows, reduce costs, and have really better customer service and better customer loyalty through web enablement. And so, you know, in terms of some of the other benefits of web enablement, one of the big factors is 24/7 access, 365 days a year. You can have multiple different types of customers have access to you whenever they need to, whenever it's most convenient for them to be able to access and order products from you. You really give a lot of control to the customer. They can control their brand. They can control the consistency with the brand. They can, you know, have accurate content in a centralized repository. You can do end-to-end fulfillment, and it really works for a distributed workforce like sales agents and things like that. We also have approval responsibility at the customer, and again, just like I said, reduce customer service workloads, and also overall reduction in human error rates. Basically, taking out that human factor and placing some responsibility on the client. And so what we see for enabling web submission, there's a lot of standardization that comes with that. A web-to-print system, like we often talk about, it provides a web-based customer interface that is also able on the back end to automate job submission, production, and fulfillment. And it helps standardize on things like submission, like job ticketing, file formats that are coming in. If you have a full PDF workflow, for example, being able to ensure that it's a PDF workflow through and through, and also some of the pre-flighting, if people are submitting documents ad hoc into your workflow, basically ensuring that they're going to print accurately and correctly, and again, reduce the error rates that are common problems. And what we find is that, you know, looking at some of the major bottlenecks that still exist in print production today, we actually just released this survey at the beginning of the year. We find that proofing and approval, big bottleneck. Job estimating, pre-flighting, job submission, billing, these are all things that can be pushed to a web interface and really pushed to the customer for them to handle that. It really addresses a lot of these major bottlenecks that service providers are still finding within their workflow. We also find that through a web interface, we can optimize the creation and submission process and, again, address some of these issues, some of these bottlenecks that I just talked about. A lot of these issues, you know, files are submitted in proprietary formats. If you haven't upgraded to InDesign CS5 yet or the latest Quark, that becomes a problem when some of your clients are sending in those proprietary formats and you might have to upgrade. You also get missing or lower resolution images. You get PDF submissions that aren't created to your print spec that you need. And you also have multiple submission methods coming in from FTP, from email, in person. It creates a lot of chaos within the workflow. And so, web enablement is really a solution for all these issues. You can develop standards and guidelines that customers need to follow for web submission. You can create some job options files for PDF creation, job tickets, things like that. But the real enabling technology to be able to standardize on a lot of this is web to print. And we see, you know, really three key principles for effective workflow design when it comes to web to print. One of the things that I'm going to focus on is the concept of a forward constraint design, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But essentially what that is it's really, you know, design the services and products around, you know, restricted capabilities to be able to automate your workflow more effectively and efficiently. And along with that, there's also lean manufacturing and a methodology that can be applied to your organization to improve efficiency and reduce costs. And also, you know, change management, really changing the culture of your organization and just the way they work, thinking about the way people work and thinking what is the most efficient way to do things and what is the most effective way to do things. And to build upon the point of forward constraint design, really what we mean is productizing the workflows that you have and the things that you're offering your customers, working in a back-to-front way to optimize your workflow. Think about the finishing processes that you have. Think about the print production capabilities that you have. How can you tailor the type of products you're offering in a web storefront to be able to easily flow into that workflow, easily flow into fulfillment and shipment out to the customer the most efficient and effective way possible, and delivering that through an integrated customer experience that enables people to still have enough choice and you know, enough ease of customization to satisfy their needs, but to also reconcile those needs with the actual workflow that you have. This really does a lot to be able to optimize the workflow and really scale your operation that's web enabled. And one of the major benefits of being able to do this is you can aggregate the volume that you get that's coming in through the web. You know, many orders that come through a web-based system, they're low in quantity. You might may have just one copy of something that somebody's ordering, or 5 or 10 or 15. And so, you know, if you have a human interaction working with somebody who's ordering, you know, one brochure, one postcard, the costs are astronomical to be able to produce something like that. But what especially for printers that have multiple storefronts with multiple clients and have a lot of low quantity orders coming in, being able to aggregate that volume into a single imposition through ganging up those jobs. That really optimizes the workflow. It improves efficiencies. It improves your effectiveness, and it really speeds up the time you're able to get that job back out to the customer.
Hey, Brian, I do have a question. Somebody asked, you know, I hear all this about the web. What happens if the web connectivity goes down?
That's a good question, and you know, it's one that you know, service providers they really need to take a good look, depending on the type of service that they offer. You know, if they have it, if they have their service on site, if they're doing like a licensed on-premise solution, they really need to look: is there some sort of backup that's available? If you know, basically having things like generators, I've been to a number of printers that basically have very bulky generators, so that, you know, even when the electricity goes out or the connection goes down, they have a backup plan. And that's really an important factor, is to really have some sort of backup plan. Same thing when you go out to software as a service. Ensure that the people that you're working with, they have some sort of redundancy in place. I'd say redundancy is a key factor when you're doing business on the web. Even though you have 24/7 access theoretically, that may not always be the case. And so, you know, make sure that that you have redundancy to ensure that your customers can get what they need as easily as possible and as constantly as possible.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Sure. So expanding on the concept of forward constraint design and optimized workflow, what we really do is we kind of take a high-level approach of how all these systems are integrated together and how the job information flows in and out of the system. Essentially, at the top here on the slide that you're seeing, you have a customer interface. That could be the web storefront that you have. That could also be the customer service representatives that you have. Ultimately, you're gathering requirements for the job. You're putting that into something like a business and information management system. That could be your part of your web-to-print system. system. That could be your MIS system. K-Smith's going to talk about that a little bit later. That goes into process management and production. Essentially, you have job information flowing all the way down through that process so that when it gets to production, it's as optimized as possible. And then once production occurs, sending that information back through that chain again to be able to inform your customers, you know, when a job has been finished, when it has been fulfilled, when it's going to get on their doorstep. This is kind of the model that we see being adopted in the industry to be able to ensure the most optimized workflow with all this information flowing in and flowing out. I believe we have some music playing right now. I'm not sure why, but in addition, in terms of the integration that's available today, we also see a number of different types of integration. We see that, you know, at the very bottom, in terms of level of complexity and the value that's delivered, we have manual data entry that happens from process to process. Basically, you have jobs coming in, somebody's manually entering them into another system. In the middle, you have a hot folder system, which a lot of companies use today. That provides some level of automation. We have a hot folder again, middle level. There's some level of complexity to that. There's incremental value delivered, but what we really see is JDF and JMF connectivity, bidirectional connectivity throughout the entire workflow. Again. It is complex to do, it is difficult to do, but it also delivers the most value, being able to have an end-to-end integrated process through passing information automatically from one step to the next in the workflow. That's the most optimized workflow that you can get. And again, to expand upon that a little bit more, looking at production capacity can really help determine where jobs are actually placed within the workflow, which devices are available versus which ones are busy with another job. Being able to automatically route that is crucial. Digital print devices, they can provide useful real-time information about jobs that are queued and jobs that are in process, things like the number of pages, processing time, priority levels, and that can feed its way through a workflow management system back to a web-to-print system. Basically, again, creating a bidirectional communication chain to ensure the most optimized workflow possible. One of the things we see happening quite a bit now is that we often talk about printers integrating different parts of their own workflow, but really successful printers that we see, they're also integrating their systems with their customers' systems. To really create a partnership and to reduce costs as much as possible. A web-to-print system can be the primary point of integration with a customer's business system. So a lot of the time we see printers tying in with accounting and ERP systems that customers have to ensure that there's quick billing and cost center information that's shared. We see directories being shared like Active Directory or LDAP where you're not having to create new usernames for everybody. You're just automatically populating the users of your system so that they can automatically access everything that you're trying to give them. And we also see integration with CRM systems for marketing types of applications. And again, this is more of a partnership that you're forming with your customers to be able to help them reduce their costs by integrating as tightly as possible with their systems. And, you know, the one thing I really want to cover is that there's a lot of solutions out there in the marketplace. In North America alone, there's well over 30 different types of web-to-print vendors. And so it's hard to, find the right one. There's lots of different ones for lots of specific applications. So the questions that you should be asking yourself, what audience are you trying to reach? Are you trying to do a consumer model like VistaPrint, like Barb mentioned? Are you just trying to create a storefront for businesses to order their own marketing collateral? And how will that solution that you're investing in, how can it support the functions that you're looking to do? How does that solution integrate with your existing workflow? Does it integrate with some of the internal systems that you have, like pre-press automation, pre-flighting, finishing, things like that, MIS? How does it integrate with that, and how can you as tightly integrate that with po- as tightly integrate with your systems as possible to be able to improve efficiencies and reduce costs. And then ultimately, we talk about, you know, on-premise license solutions versus software as a service. One of the important things to look at is what's the total cost of ownership going to be? Even if you're doing a software as a service solution and maybe you're doing that for an extended period of time, maybe a number of years, is it really cheaper or more cost-effective to do that in a software as a service model, or does it make sense to bring that on-premise? And this includes any of the hardware components that you're doing, like servers and things like that. What is the total cost going to be of this ownership and investment? And what's the return on investment? Do you have a business plan in place? Is it just one customer that's coming in and asking you to be able to do this application? Do you have a plan to be able to scale that across your entire organization and really make a significant business unit out of it? These are the types of questions that you should be asking when you're really looking at a solution to web enable your business.
Now, Brian, I have one last question before I turn it over to John. And one of the questions as you talk about choosing a solution said, asked, have you seen any web-to-print systems that crash due to the high number of concurrent users?
That's an interesting one. I haven't really heard anything about that. I would imagine that perhaps it does happen. Again, it really depends on the level of the number of people that you're trying to handle. And so again, scalability is an important concern. And if you're dealing with, for example, hundreds or even thousands of people and they're ordering, you know, very graphic intensive files or submitting very graphic intensive files, again, that's something you really need to take a look at in terms of, is that solution scalable?
And Brian, I'm going to just ask you one last question. And it really references a tool that's out there that's available to the audience. Could you just take a second to explain? I know you've got and you've developed what they call an ultimate guide to web to print, which is accessible, and there's a lot of free information on the tools through that guide. Could you explain how somebody could access that?
Sure, absolutely. We actually have a partnership with North American Publishing Company. If you go on piworld.com, there's an Ultimate Guides tab right there. You can basically click on that, and it'll take you to any of the guides that we have. We have one on web to print. We have one on variable data, on enterprise document composition, on multi-channel, and we also have hardware guides as well. So that's one way that you can definitely help make an informed buying decision when you're out on the market for some of these solutions.
Great, and it really compares and contrasts the offerings so you can look at what your customer requirements are and then map your customer requirements to that specific solution.
Absolutely.
Great. Now, with that, what I am going to do is I am going to turn over to John Davila, and John is going to share with us the real-world implementation side relative to what's going on in terms of K-Smith. And so with that, John, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Great. Thanks, Barb. Hi. I just want to talk a little about K-Smith initially. K-Smith is a company named after Danny Kaye and Lester Smith. Hollywood entertainer Danny Kaye and Les Smith was an entrepreneur. You know, they've owned radio broadcast companies. They've recording studios. Hart was one of their customers. Concerts West was a promotional company that Elvis Presley was one of their customers, and they were original owners of the Seattle Mariners. Pretty cool. We get great seats. So today, who we are, what they did in 1987, Les purchased a business forms company that continues to evolve as the industry does. That's kind of what this is. We have 180 employees, $30 million in sales, headquarters in Bellevue, Washington, plants in Renton, Washington, and Portland, Oregon, and our hot site is in Missoula, Montana. Because we do a lot of transactional processing of financial statements, insurance forms, and so on, we needed to be ISO, SAS 70, and we're also a business mail entry unit. The types of customers we serve, our biggest areas are financial services, medical health care, insurance companies, nonprofits, and biotech. Biotech's really big right now in this area. Tech companies, airlines, telecommunications, and so on are the rest of the ones that we do a lot of direct marketing for, fulfillment processing for, and so on.
Hey, John, a quick question for you.
Sure.
Is there one of these industry segments that has a higher propensity to want web-enabled solutions?
Actually, yeah, the biotech is huge. right now. The biotech and financial services are a couple different areas that we do a lot. We're getting a lot more stores up for. Very big. Insurance companies, not so much. Medical, you know, we're still working on that. That's more like print-on-demand type stuff, forms that they want. We do have some of those, but not a lot of them. But biotech is incredible right now.
Great. Thanks.
Our core businesses, print, supplies and inventory management, direct marketing and personalized fulfillment, web-based tools and e-solutions, that's really the area that we're pushing the hardest right now, our biggest initiative, promotional marketing and merchandising and financial communications. Now, what we found, you know, if we went business as usual, what's happening right now is, you know, we had a lot of Brian talked a lot about that regarding fragmented workflows. You know, it's not connected. One department's really good at getting something through; the next department, not so much, because how we transfer the information over to the next group is a struggle. So we needed new ways to reduce costs, streamline operations, and increase productivity and profitability, and also grow the business. Too many manual steps and a lot of paperwork to get a job through the system. And a lot of duplicated paperwork all the way through. We're supporting our own industry basically on how much we were printing. Very fragmented workflow. So what we decided to do was, with digital print volumes increasing, our first task was to create an automated and modular workflow for digital printing that can work with our current printing technology and grow with our customers' business needs. So what we did, we basically focused on the digital first. Now, everything you see in green, all the lines and the boxes you see in green, before that, they were just broken pieces, broken part of the workflows. What we did is we basically automated all that through. As you see, most of it's green now. Of course, there's human parts in there, but most of it is green because it's fully automated. The buyer now goes through our web storefront. And since we were able to do digital print workflow, automate all that, we figured, hey, why not look at all the other stuff we offer? You know, offset templates, finished good items, promotional items, and even stuff we don't produce that our customers, you know, maybe have a store or they call us or they have to go to another vendor to get it fulfilled. So we were able to work through all the workflows. The product we had actually worked pretty well in those areas that we were able to use the storefront, build the workflow and push it through our existing workflow. One thing Brian said is you need to build, you know, you kind of need to build that back end, understand what job types you're going to create. You build that first and then you're able to push them through from the front. And we use basically the Xerox products. We're somewhat a Xerox shop. So we use the Xerox FreeFlow Web Services product as well as the FreeFlow Process Manager. Let me go on the next slide. Now the benefits. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Let me click through these real quick. The benefits are improved turnaround and cost reduction through automation in web to print, personalized communications, promotional and transactional, and simple, repeatable jobs that used to take 5 to 7 days now take 1 day. It's incredible. You know, they used to have to call in for the order. I'm trying to figure out why it's doing all this. They used to have to call in for the order, and you have to write up a ticket, go through order services, get it through production, and so on. All the proofing has to take place and all those steps. I'm sure we're all used to that. Now, if you can put these orders in your web storefront and have them ordered directly from there, it's awesome. It's awesome. It takes so much labor out of the process. I love to now just see the emails come through saying, hey, we've got another order, and really my group doesn't have anything to do. Either just client services, it just goes straight to production, either as a inventory release or a digital print job. From the business side of things, the business process automation, production workflow optimization through MIS integration, I'll talk more about that because we're still trying to complete that process there. Automated order fulfillment application, and new customer acquisitions and improve customer service. I think Brian hit on that too. The customer service is great. I mean, really, from the standpoint, you don't have to, you know, the client services reps and the sales reps are focusing now on new sales or the more complicated jobs rather than trying to push a simple order through.
One of the questions that I got while you were chatting, John, is what software application are you using for the actual order entry, the customer-facing order entry?
That is the Xerox's FreeFlow Web Services.
Okay. Great. And, John, you mentioned one term, and somebody asked for a definition. I'll let you do it. But what's you use the term hot site. What's a hot site?
Oh, hot site, that's basically where we have, let's say our facility goes down here. We can still run a lot of what we do is through that facility, through that work center over there. So if we temporarily go down, let's say Seattle, Washington goes down, and then we still need to communicate to our Portland facility. They all of a sudden take over into disaster recovery mode or business continuity mode. We can still have the communications going through our Missoula facility.
Okay, great. Thank you, John.
You bet. So one of the big things that we've got out of this, our customers now have one-stop shopping. And for many of the products that K-Smith offers, in addition to items K-Smith does not produce right from their desktop, I mean, we used to have multiple systems where, okay, they want to do an inventory release, they go to this system. If they want to get a digital print job or a mailing job through, they go to this system. And if they want to do a promotional item, they have to go, you know, to another one. This one basically allows you to do everything. I mean, they go into one store, they log into one place, and they can order anything they want. And they don't care where it gets produced. It can get, you know, we don't have to produce it. For instance, you know, we have one where they order coffee online. Well, we don't produce coffee. So what we have a situation where it's an outsourced vendor feature within that FreeFlow Web Services product where it pushes an order directly to that vendor, and they'll get the job ticket instructions. They'll get everything necessary for them to fulfill the job. And they can actually online accept the job. And when they ship it out, they basically mark it as shipped. And the email confirmation goes to the it will end up going to the buyer. It works very, very well. So some of the challenges we had, one of the biggest one is bleeding edge software. You know, our industry is changing so rapidly, and so is the software. And so what you have to make sure is that, you know, the software vendors are trying to keep up with it at the same time. You have to make sure that you have a stable product, because some of these products, they're very nice. They look very nice, but they may not be able to go all the way through the process at that time. They may implement something, but not as thoroughly as they need to. So you're going to run into some problems now and then. Be prepared for some of that. And you might, in some cases, start slowly on these things. But, you know, they have to have – the software that you purchase has to be something that, you know, you can currently use and then you can potentially grow with down the road. And be prepared. It won't be everything that you or your customers want it to be. There's going to be some shortcomings. You know, in our case, we're trying to push as much mailing onto the web store as possible. We do a lot of mailings here, and – We're not able to utilize all our functionality like the pre-sorting and the dupe elimination and the NCOAing through these systems. They're just not ready for that yet. They're not capable of that. But we have ways, basically how FreeFlow Web Services is set up, that it can basically spit out files or extract files that we can do that with. So look for more of an open-ended system, because it's not going to be everything you need it to be, but as long as it's open-ended, and it allows you to go in and pull this information out of it, then that should help you a lot. And then you want to make them prove it before you buy it. Now, with Xerox, you know, we did have some issues up front with the web services product. We got a new release version, and we grew with them. You know, they were very responsive on some of the shortcomings that it had, very, very responsive, though. So at this point in time, it's a very stable product. It's working really well for us. Change. That's another area that it always makes people nervous in the facility, where they're noticing that, you know, on these things, when you're automating things and you're trying to make things more efficient, that in your production work environment, that, you know, they're looking at potentially employment or jobs. You know, it makes them nervous. Now, just make sure you're constantly communicating with them all the way through, because what it does, you know, it just shifts some of these, some of the positions around a little bit. You know, there will be, in some cases, there will be some jobs that will potentially be eliminated, but there also potentially be, you know, you have some good people out there, you can move them to other positions. Training is also another big one. You will fail if everyone from order entry to invoicing does not understand what their role is and how to perform in a new environment. It is a different environment. It's a different world. A lot of people love it. Client services, they're jumping up and down. You mean I don't have to put an order in for every one of these little, you know, 25-piece jobs or 500-piece mailing? No, you don't, because it's already set up on the site. And doing it right requires a roadmap and time. This will not happen overnight, so make sure your boss knows that. It takes a while to do it right. I mean, you can get, if you want to get something up and going really quick, then you're going to run into problems because you haven't basically thought everything through. You really have to plan out everything from the beginning. What do I want to offer from the store right up front? You know, what do I want to automate? What is the most volume that I'll probably get, the biggest bang I can get for my buck right off the bat? Now, that may not always equate with what your customers want to purchase off the store. You know, we kind of ran into that too. We are hoping that digital print, everybody's going to go digital print right off the bat. So we got those workflows set up, and we are ready to go. Our first customer wanted to do finished goods. Well, we had to go back up and set up the finished goods workflow there. And then the beauty of that, we set up the finished good items. Guess what? Now on top of that, they want to do some mailings. They want to do their stationery, everything else on top of it. It works really well.
Dave, one quick question for you. You know, you've done a lot of work on the system side. What approaches do you recommend using to justify the return on investment for these web-based services?
The return on investment, you know, a big one is retention. You know, you want to retain the customers you have. The first thing we did is we looked at what our current customer base is purchasing from us, and we're looking at what other vendors that, you know, service providers like us will do for them, and we needed to make sure that we're not going to lose what we currently have. We need to offer something better, and so that was number one. You know, there's a value. There's definitely a value there. Number two on the return on investment. It's hard. It's really hard to justify spending the money to do it because you don't know. The volume right off the bat was very slow. You know, we were happy to get on our first customer an order every week or an order every 2 weeks. You know, and our boss was giving us a bad time about that. But then all of a sudden, they started coming. So you might want to look at what you're currently doing and how you can make those type of jobs more efficient, then offer those to your customers. And then that's going to make those current jobs that you're spending a lot of money on to get through the system a lot less expensive. And you can give some of it back to your customer if you want to.
Great. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Case studies. National Youth Organization, you know, they were struggling because they had all their branches go out and they would be purchasing from their local printer, the little Kinko's or so on, and they were printing their own marketing collateral, they were doing their business cards, their stationery, and so on. They wanted to control the brand. They wanted a centralized ordering system for all branches. They were about to do a full corporate rebranding program, and they wanted to be able to manage their marketing collateral. So the solution that we had for them was created a brand, a web store, customized to their needs, which allows all the branches to purchase marketing collateral as well as business stationery and non-Case Smith produced products. So the results give them a reliable, dependable, streamlined ordering process with consistent branding. Every order is assigned a cost center, which makes chargebacks easier to manage for each branch. Better management and control of marketing collateral, you know, who purchased what, Each order can be tracked by the purchaser from the point of purchase all the way to deliver. Manual order entry was eliminated. That's huge. Manual order entry was totally removed from that. And turn time for personalized static products ordered was reduced by 3 days. It was used to be 5 days to 1 to 2 days, which reduced the price paid by the customer. And some of those could be almost same-day turns based on the time we got in the morning. Another one is National Insurance Company. They are very big on controlling the brand, controlling the content of the messaging that goes out that the agents produce. So they wanted to control the content messaging for agents who purchased a new book of business. They wanted to communicate the transition to the insured via mailing. That was the first wave. And then they want the letter to be personalized with the purchasing agent's information saying, okay, I am now your new agent. The solution that we had was created a branded web store for agents that had a new book of business. The purchasing agent can pick a letter and then personalize it with a bio, contact information, and photo, and then we allow them to upload a mailing database, and then we basically produce them for it. The results, consistent branding and messaging, very big, very big. The transition of a book of business will now require communication via mail to the insured. So basically, it initially started out as a test. Now they're going to require everybody to do that because it works so well. And turn time improved by 3 days, 5 days to, 5 days went to 1 to 2 days, which reduced, again, the price paid by the customer.
John, you've had some great successes here. One of the participants said, a common problem that we see is no matter the degree of automation set up, customers still call to order. And even if they previously ordered online, and so, sales doesn't want to tell the customer, no, you've got to enter your order via the web interface. And these exceptions are defeating the entire system. How do you deal with that, and how do you get your customers to change?
You know what? That's a great point. That is an excellent point because we have the same problem. They're used to calling, so they're going to call. Basically, what we did was we basically start out with training. These systems are really easy to use. These front-end systems are very easy to use. But if you train them and show them, we train the trainer who's at the site, and we basically had sessions for them to show them how to do this. And what that did was reduce the number of calls we had because we didn't initially do the training. Then we were still getting calls. So we went out, performed the training, showed them how easy it was, and that reduced it. I can't even tell you how much. A lot. Now, we still get some phone calls. There's still some phone calls, and we're not going to tell them, you need to order through the web store. You have to do that. We'll still take those phone calls. But training them and getting them in front of them, getting them documentation of how to use it, that was really the big push on our part, and it's worked really well.
Great insight. Thanks, John.
You bet. Recommendations. Automation, automation, automation. I mean, you have to do it. There's no choice. Avoid compromising. It can be done. Again, we all have these systems in place, probably been set up a long time ago. You have to recognize that it can be done. Throughout the, you need to get the right software, productivity software. If you don't have it already, you need to get the right web store. Combine it and basically make them work together. Establish workflows for each product type. Every single thing that you're going to sell, that you want to sell, and you want to produce it from the web, and it doesn't have to be from the web. It can be something you do internally anyways. You receive a file from a customer, and you just want to push that through real quickly. But you need to establish those workflows, because if you don't, you're still going to stumble through it. You're not going to be able to be efficient. You're not going to be able to be price, competitive from that standpoint. Web store should integrate with your MIS system. That is probably one of the biggest things that if you get out of this, that's what I want you to think about there. We are going, we've automated a lot of our systems throughout, getting the file from the order from A to Z all the way out to shipping. What our next phase is making sure that we have the right MIS system that integrates with your web store and with your productivity suite, your productivity tools, all the way through invoicing. There's some nice systems out there. We spent the last 4 to 6 months doing this research. I think we've decided on which one we're going to use, which basically puts it all together. And you got these systems talking back and forth. When the order comes in, it's from the web store. It's actually creating it in your MIA system. And then when it gets shipped out or mailed, it pushes that information back up to the web store. Back-end functionality is more important than a pretty storefront. We researched the web storefronts, and there's a lot of really cool ones out there that look really cool, snazzy, and you can do a lot of customization for the customer. But if it cannot push something to your back end and help you become more efficient, like JDF or electronic job tickets, then you got to be a little wary of that. Your focus, you know, of course you want to have something nice for the customer to see, which there's a lot of them out there, but you have to make sure that it can produce enough information that'll push it through the back end, your back end system. Mailing capabilities, we're seeing a lot more people wanting to do that online. You know, they've got their 500, 1,000, 1,500 piece mailings. They just want to basically, here's my postcard template, here's my list, I'm going to personalize that postcard, and then just get it out the door for us. That's a big area, especially with our customers. And one last thing, the closed loop process, you must be able to monitor the status of a job from order submission through shipping and billing. You can't get it lost in there. That's part of that automation. You got to be able to see it all the way through. You know, it doesn't matter if you can get it to the point of shipping. If you can't invoice it, well, you're defeating the purpose. Or it still takes a lot of work to invoice it from that point in time, then you haven't really succeeded in automating it all the way through.
John, I got a couple questions before I let you wrap up here. Let me start with just a couple of real quick ones. Do you have, and these can be quick yes or no ones, do you have designers on staff?
Yes.
And how many?
We have three.
Three designers. And then does shipping integrate with your FreeFlow tool set?
Shipping at this time, it does not. But with the new MIS system we're looking at getting, it absolutely will.
Okay, now we got a lot of questions. You mentioned a new MIS system. Everybody wants to know what you're looking at and what you think you're going to put in and why.
Okay, 2 to 3 months ago, we were really looking at the print stream, and that's the one we truly wanted. Then they got bought. They acquired by EFI. And so we've been working with them, talking about, you know, working through all the things that we needed in the product and the things that PrintStream was strong at where they weren't so strong. And what it's come down to is that their next big release is going to have a lot of the features that we need, mailing being a big part of it, bi-directional integration with the web stores, to the MI system where, again, it'll kick in the order, it'll ship it through, and everything becomes one seamless process. JDFs, it'll be able to push the JDFs through, and that's another area that our big focus is on when we get the MIS, pushing JDF through and make it even more automated. So that's EFI Monarch is probably the direction that we're going.
Okay. And then you mentioned that, you know, you gave two great customer scenarios. Just a quick question, which is when you looked at the client side of it, when you automated the order procedures, were you able to reduce cost to the client, the cost to the client after you ordered it, after you automated that ordering process, or was that all just pure profit for you?
Absolutely we reduced the cost to the customer. Yeah, we did. You know, we're still making a profit on there, but, you know, we took out all that order entry process. We took out all those steps, so it saved a lot of money. Now, you know, that's what you really want is, you know, web stores, people compare getting a business card from, you know, from like us, we're more B2B, getting a business card, they'll look at the pricing, what Vistaprint's going to do or those other companies are going to do. And so, you know, we have to be pretty competitive. We're not going to be we're not going to be at that level, but we got to be somewhat close.
Okay. And this one is for Brian. Brian, you know, InfoTrends has done a lot of work with a number of companies in terms of execution and implementation of web-to-print solutions. Do you have any recommendations for a startup that has no existing ordering software, workflow, et cetera? What would be your top recommendations for getting going? You there, Brian?
Sorry, I was still on mute. so that's a great question. Definitely what I would say is do your homework. Look at, create a strategy for what you want to do. I would say, you know, I know customers are always, you know, requesting these types of applications, web-enabled applications, and, you know, being reactive to that. I would say be proactive. Go out there. See what's on the market. Look at what type of applications you really want to execute with a web-enabled storefront and everything that comes after that. And, you know, go out there and find the right solution that really meets your needs and you know, come up with concrete criteria to be able to find that the solution that's right for you.
Yeah, I think Brian raises a couple of real good points there, which is I really think you need to sit down, and it really does start with, you know, customer requirements. And what we're finding is that, you know, when you take a look at the customer requirements side, you know, a lot of service providers fail to ask customers what they want, and then they buy either an over-featured or an under-featured solution, and they haven't talked to the customer. The other piece that I tell folks, especially if you're just getting started, is look at the software as a service models. There's a lot of opportunity with cloud-based implementation solutions that will cost you substantially less relative to infrastructure, et cetera. And Brian mentioned that you could go to the PI Printing Impressions website and look at some of the web-to-print tools that are out there. What I tell folks is in that instance, you know, Brian's done a pretty good job at assessing the features and those kinds of things that are currently available in the marketplace. I'm going to just wrap up with a couple of quick slides since we've got 2 minutes left, and I think we got to most everybody's questions, and I'll check one more time before we finally log off. But I think what we're seeing is that we've got a very different marketplace, and you went from supply to a demand economy. You're going from single media to cross media. You're going from production-centric to customer-centric. You're going from creative to innovative, and the list goes on and on and on. And all of that is really saying that I've got to give and put power in the hands of that end customer of mine, whether they're B2B or B2C, to let them participate in that overall process. And I've got to be able to automate it to meet both your business needs as well as your end customer's business needs. So I would like to leave people with one final quote, and this happens to be one of my favorite Darwin quotes, and it says, you know, the survival of the fittest is an ageless law of nature, but the fittest are rarely the strong. The fittest are those endowed with the qualifications for adaptation and the ability to accept the inevitable and conform to the unavoidable and harmonize with existing or changing conditions. And I think what we're all dealing with is your customers are placing orders over the Internet. They're used to buying things from everywhere, from Talbots to you name it, online. And so the message inside is you want to get to be part of that game, but once I've literally gotten on the web, I have to be able to automate that through my entire production facility. I'd like to take just a minute to thank all of our presenters today, Brian and John, and I'd like to thank you, our audience, for joining us. Have a great rest of the day, and again, really appreciate your participation.